Here in Wisconsin, it is fair season. County fairs are officially in full swing, with a lot of them taking place around the state over the next month. And of course, the Wisconsin State Fair just kicked off yesterday. For many fairgoers, all of this can mean just one thing: food. From fried delights on a stick to funnel cakes and snow cones, fairs around the country offer a unique slice of American cuisine.
But if you can't make it to the fair or want a little bite of summer during the winter, you could try your hand at making some of these treats at home. In this edition of Food Friday, we're getting some tips and recipes for how you can make blue ribbon winning state fair dishes in the comfort of your own kitchen.
George Geary joins us now. He's a chef, author, and educator. His bio goes way beyond that. He previously served as the culinary coordinator of the Los Angeles County Fair, and he's known for creating all of the cheesecakes for the Golden Girls and other television programs. His new book is called Fair Foods, the most popular and offbeat recipes from America's state and county fairs. George, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. How is everybody doing?
Well, great. State fair going on in Wisconsin. A lot of interesting food going on there. But why does fair food for you, George, hold such a special place in your heart?
Oh, it doesn't.
You hate the stuff.
No, it's just, it's one of those things that people only go to once a year. And I thought, if you had a cookbook to create these crazy dishes that we hear of every single year, it would be something that you could do in January when you normally don't go to the fair.
The phrases deep fried and on a stick seem to be kind of synonymous with what you get at the fair.
Yeah.
How would you describe what exactly fair food is?
Well, fair food back in the day used to be snow cones, popcorn, and floss. What do they call it?
Cotton candy?
Cotton candy, that's it. Yeah, I was thinking British, because they call it something floss.
Wow, that's angel just like floss. Really the opposite of its effect, right? I mean,
yeah,
floss
absolutely.
Is good for
your
teeth,
it doesn't floss anything. But, and that's what it used to be. And then about the 80s, it started changing. And mostly in California, where I'm from, they would have these crazy stories before the fair would open. You've got to try the fried whatever. And the word fried was before the whatever. And so I thought, you know, that's kind of crazy. And they keep wanting up themselves every year, every season. And every fair tries to do it better than the other. And I have in the book fried butter. And in your mind, you think a whole stick of butter thrown into the vat of oil. And technically, and somebody else said this to me recently when I was being interviewed, it's technically an inside-outside pancake, isn't it? And I thought, you're right, because they take a scoop of butter, they dip it into a batter, like a pancake batter, fry that, and then when you bite into it, you really don't get a big chunk of butter. You get this melted bliss inside the fried dough. So that's, and the same thing with fried Coca-Cola. You think, how in the world do people fry Coca-Cola? All it really is, it could be any fried, any drink. It's a batter that they've made with the Coca-Cola that they fry, and it's kind of like a funnel cake. So it's kind of, also when you go to the fair, which I'm sure you guys will be going out to the state fair, you see these big, big signs that say fried whatever, and you think, what in the world is it? And then when you really eat it, it's kind of like the bearded lady. You really don't see a real beard on her, or you hope not.
Well, you definitely answered my question about the fried butter. Have you perhaps seen the movie Diary of a Wimpy Kid this last summer?
No, but
I'm not going to go into it, but there's a fried butter scene. And so all summer long, my kids and I have been asking, does fried butter really exist? How do you do it? And now we know.
Yeah. Yeah, and just follow that recipe. It works really well. Of all the weird new, in the past 20 years, fried foods, I would say the fried Oreos are probably one of the best things in the book to do. But then we don't have just fried. We have great ribs in the book, pulled pork sandwiches in the book. We've got the best cinnamon rolls that walk the earth. All sorts of different good, different things. And you mentioned things are on a stick or fried, and it's because people want to go from one point to another at the fair. They're trying to go to rides or whatever, and they only have one hand, so to use to eat out of. So,
We're talking to George Geary. His new book is Fair Foods, the Most Popular and Offbeat Recipes from America's State and County Fairs. George, let's get into some recipes that you've got in the book. You mentioned the deep fried Oreos. You've got that. And I think deep fried Twinkies, too. So what's the key to taking one of these snack foods that's out there and turning it into a deep fried, insert name here?
Freezing it. Because you take a Twinkie and just throw it in the fryer, again, it will melt and go all over the place. You have to freeze it, and then it has to have a batter on the outside. So like the Oreo, like the fried anything, you have some type of tempura batter or almost like a pancake batter. You fry that, and that's what's really getting fried is the outside, and the inside gets warm and gooey. So
seems like you use panko breadcrumbs, the Japanese breadcrumbs sometimes, and sometimes you use regular breadcrumbs for the frying. What's the difference?
It really depends on what the item is we're frying and what kind of, if we want a crunchiness on the outside or just a kind of like a donut-y texture on the outside. So it really depends on the item.
And I want to move on to another recipe. We've got this one on the Central Time Facebook page. And here's a series of words that don't usually appear together, but I'll say them. The recipe is spicy peanut butter and jelly. Okay, that's already getting weird. Spicy peanut butter and jelly cheeseburgers.
I thought you were going to say healthy something. That normally doesn't go together.
No.
Yeah, there's been a lot of this peanut butter jelly craze or peanut butter and burger craze that I've seen around the country, not just at fairs. People are putting peanut butter on their hamburger. And one fair was doing it to where they were frying it and deep frying the burger, peanut butter, and jelly. So you get that sweet, savory, and your protein all in one. So it's kind of these different combinations are coming up, which are fascinating to me.
I'm willing to bear with you during the peanut butter and jelly and the spicy and even the cheeseburger, but then you add the Swiss cheese on top of the burger. What does that do?
Well, you go back into, remember the that sandwich that people would do was the Monte Cristo sandwiches?
Yeah.
You had the cheese, the ham, some type of mayonnaise or mustard, and then it was deep fried in like French toast batter with an egg bread. So thinking of all these flavors together, I think what people are doing is just putting everything on your fork at once instead of separating it out.
Now, is it going to be as fun to eat these things at home? Because part of the charm is you're eating these wacky foods while walking around at the fair and looking at the livestock or trying not to get nauseous on the ride or whatever. Is it going to be the same if I just make this in my kitchen and, I don't know, eat it on the back porch?
Absolutely. Because, some of these, like turkey legs, those, you normally only see them at the fair, but you can ask your butcher to do it. In fact, I'm doing it on a television show next week, and we barbecue them outside, and kids think that a turkey leg is the most fascinating thing because they're so huge, and that you just call them, you know, large chickens to the kids, you know, and they seem like that they're eating Knights at the Round Table type of thing, so with this big food, so it's fun.
Well, George, we couldn't help but notice that there is one omission in the book that here in Wisconsin could not, caught our eye, because in Wisconsin, this is the pinnacle, this is the crown jewel of fair food, the cream puff, and it's not in your book. Have you had a cream puff?
Oh, yeah. And the reason why, we didn't do everything. Well, I could do 10 more books on this thing. Cream puffs were going to take, I wanted items that people could really make at home with perfection with the first time around, and that's one of those items that is not the easiest to make sure it's perfect.
What is it that's so hard about the cream puff in particular?
It's just the cream puff is a lot more manual labor, and like any cream puff, and you have to get it just right, and there's a lot more instructional into it. So I thought, let's make this book really fun versus every single thing at the fair. So that's why I didn't put the cream puff into it.
So this isn't some kind of subtle anti-cream puff agenda.
Oh, I would never do any anything in Wisconsin. It's one of my favorite states. I was just there last month. So
nice. Well, if there was no cheese on your menu, then we'd really be suspicious.
Right.
But there is
no
cheese.
And I would never pick on you guys versus California with cheese or anything like that.
That's a sore spot, man.
Yeah, yeah, don't bring that up.
No dairy problems whatsoever, but no, I just love Wisconsin. It's a great, great state. I was in Wisconsin Dells, come to think of it.
Oh, nice. Well, we're talking right now with George Geary about making fair food. You're thinking fried stuff on a stick, but he says you can make it at home. And his recipes are up on the Central Time Facebook page right now. His new book is called Fair Foods, the most popular and offbeat recipes from America's state and county fairs.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried making your favorite county or state fair food at home? How did it go? Or do you have a favorite that you get every year at the fair? What is it? And do you need some advice for trying to make a state fair food, a county fair food at home? We've got the guest for you right now. Give a call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. It's Food Friday, and we're talking about fair foods. You can think about deep-fried yumminess and sweet treats and how you can make these dishes at home even when state fair season is over.
George Geary is with us. His new book is Fair Foods, the most popular and offbeat recipes from America's state and county fairs. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite food to eat at a fair? What's the weirdest thing you ever ate at a fair? Have you ever tried recreating those dishes at home? How did it come out? And you need some advice from George? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post, find a recipe on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers. Tim is with us in Elk Mound. Tim, hi.
Hi. So I had a thing at a fair years and years ago, and I've never seen it at a fair again, but it's become a staple around my house. And that is angel food French toast. So they took angel food loaf, I guess, and they cut it into, like, bite-sized pieces, battered them in egg and milk, you know, that kind of thing, and then dropped them in the deep fryer. Now, I make it at home without deep frying it, just cut it into slices like you would French toast and batter it and make French toast. But you use angel food cake in a loaf form as the substrate instead of bread.
So, Tim, it sounds like that's super easy. Just sub in angel food cake in your French toast recipe. I would worry that it would be too sweet. Is it too sweet?
Not in the least bit. We do homemade whipped cream, and a lot of times I'll take raspberries and reduce them down so you get a little bit of that tart raspberry.
I will stop by for that maybe this weekend. Tim, thanks a lot for calling. George, have you seen anything like that, French toast made with unusual dessert breads?
No, and that's why I was thinking maybe that was not a dessert and it was a breakfast item, but it sounds like he does it for breakfast, so fasting. I would think the French toast, the batter wouldn't stick very well because of the angel food cake is so light and airy, but I guess it works. I've never heard of it.
All right, well, let's go to Aaron next in West Bend. Aaron, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I try to make one of my favorite fair foods is chocolate-covered bacon on a stick. And I've tried to make it at home, but I can't seem to get the chocolate to stick to the bacon. It just constantly drips off I try to cool the bacon so that it cools off enough to get it to where it's solid enough, but the chocolate still seems to drip off.
Maybe you got to freeze it like the other items on this list. What about that one, George? How do you do chocolate-covered bacon?
Yeah, what kind of chocolate are you using?
Just a standard milk chocolate made for baking.
Chocolate.
Where you can melt it down. It comes in like a quarter-sized pellet.
First of all, you need to dry the do the bacon, but when you fry the bacon, I bake it instead of fry it, so it stays flat, and weave a skewer in the piece of bacon so it stays flat. Then, after it's baked, pat it off so there isn't as much oil on the outside, freeze it, and then take your chocolate, and normally the chocolate, I'm glad you weren't using chocolate chips because chocolate chips won't work at all. And if the bacon is really cold to start with and you've patted it down so there isn't any more oil on it, it should work pretty good.
Aaron, I hope that helps. So you've got the expert there telling you how to do it. Bacon on a stick covered in chocolate.
All right. We heard from Ann in Madison. Ann emailed, here's a fair food on my bucket list. It's called the Wisconsin. This is involved. Get ready. An exclusive Miller Bakery soft pretzel cone. So we got a pretzel cone filled with German Rotkohl, a red cabbage dish, hand-breaded chicken schnitzel, a homemade potato pancake wedge topped with crispy cinnamon apple straws and a drizzle of Oktoberfest beer reduction. First place winner, Ann says, at the 2015 Sporkies, which is a thing, I guess. I'm not familiar with that. I won't have you talk us through that dish. There's a lot going on. But George, have you seen people get elaborate like this? This is a multi-stage process here for a fair food.
That really is. Now, fair started in America, because if you read the first part of the book, I took two British friends that own a high-end restaurant to the L.A. Fair. They'd never been to a fair, and the next day they were going to go to Disneyland, and they decided not to go to Disneyland. They thought the fair was the most outrageous, crazy place you've ever been. And if you look at that dish you just talked about, it seemed very lots of ethnic Germanish type foods, and the fairs now have brought in a lot more ethnic flavors, even though it was a very Americanized type thing. So I think it's fascinating that we start seeing that at the fairs, the different flavors and things put together. But no, I've never seen anything with 10 different recipes into one item and walking down the Midway, because they're putting that all in that one cone.
It's a German restaurant in a cone, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then these fairs, you know, like festivals, Greek festival, German festival, things like that, that's where a lot of foods come out also. Which at first I thought when I was working on the book I would do festivals in there too, but we had enough just with the county and the state fairs, where you probably wouldn't find that in a county or a state fair, that recipe.
Now, there's an item you talk about in the book, and, you know, in Wisconsin, we have kind of a friendly rivalry with Minnesota, not quite as much as we have with Illinois, but there's a little bit of something there, especially with football. And they have something called a pickle dog, and you talk about that in your book. Can you tell us about that and win us over?
And do you like how I tell you it's healthy? Not too that well. It's kind of it doesn't have the pickle dog was something that was doing, and it's like cream cheese pickle, and yeah, some of the flavors to me don't go well. But somebody recently said that sounds like a pregnancy dog because it's got the pickle in there, and you're using the pickle as the hot dog pretty much. And I find in your area and those two other states that you talked about that we don't mention, that you all have rivalries on food, too, of the flavors of things that you do, which is fascinating.
Talking to George Geary, his new book is Fair Foods, the Most Popular and Offbeat Recipes from America's State and County Fairs. George, we haven't touched one of your chapters. You've got a whole section on beverages. What are a couple of your favorite state fair-style beverages?
The beverages, funny, I should never tell on people, but my editor, she emailed me and she said, George, the beverage chapter is looking nice, but there sure is a lot of alcohol. Do people drink at these fairs that much? And I said, yeah, that's kind of like in California, the margaritas, they put them in a shaker and you take the shaker and the cup that's already full with you while you walk around. So you have no room for anything else but two hands. The drinks of the margaritas are really good. The triberry shakes are good. They've got a little kick with a little alcohol in it. A lot of the recipes have alcohol, but then you can pull them out too. It's not just mandatory. You have to put the vodka or whatever, the rum in. But all of the beverages are pretty much, because it's hot during fair season, you need something to cool down.
What about the violet soda? That one looks really intriguing.
Yeah, somebody in the South told me that they didn't think that was very fair-like, because you have to make the violet syrup for it. But I found that, I think it was Arizona.
Interesting. And you actually make a syrup out of violets?
Yeah. In fact, I take groups, now this is not in California, but I take groups to France, and it's during the violet season, and you make a syrup with the sugar and water, boiling it and putting the violets on in the water that's been boiled and let it seep, kind of like tea. So, but there's a lot of violet production places around Southern California. We have a number of violet places that do violets. For violets and different types of herbs into drinks and things like that.
So, George, I got to ask. I mean, in the Midwest, fried food, sure. But I think a lot of people think of L.A. as this healthy place and would picture the L.A. County Fair as, you know, seared kale on a stick or something like that. People out there love this stuff just as much as we do.
I'm glad you brought that up because so many people think California or Los Angeles doesn't even have a fair because where would we put a cow or where would we put anything like that? They did a play. I haven't been with the fair for about five, six years now, but there were billboards around Southern California that had a goat and it said, come to the LA County Fair, see where real goat cheese pizza comes from. So it was a joke on us also. But a one corner, the last northeast corner of LA County is agricultural, even though all this area used to be citrus. And the 4-H groups and all that we have everything like everybody else does. But that's where it all is. And they eat just as bad as everybody else around the country does.
Oh, that's reassuring.
but it's not just always all healthy, but it is interesting. People watching, I must tell you.
And George, in our last couple of seconds, what is your favorite state fair food or county fair food?
I like breakfast stuff because I would work at the fair early in the morning, and I love the cinnamon rolls and donuts and things like that. Mm. But you'll also notice a lot of recipes are getting into mainstream that used to start at fairs, similar to like fried green beans. And they're in high-end restaurants now as appetizers.
Well, you can't go wrong with breakfast. George, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope to talk to you again soon.
That was Chef George Geary, the author of Fair Foods, the most popular and offbeat recipes from America's state and county fairs. Got some recipes up right now on the Central Time Facebook page.